Well, Father William, an elderly priest, made it his practice to visit the parish school one day a week. He walked into the fourth grade class where the children were studying the states and asked them how many states they could name. They could name 40 states. And then Father William jokingly told them that in his day, students knew the names of all the states. And one lad raised his hand and said, "Yes, Father, but in those days there were only 13 of them." So every year we have another birthday. And so thanks so much for coming to this birthday mass, which as I mentioned is offered for all of you for your special intentions. Yes, tomorrow I hit the speed limit, 55. So what I wanted to do for a moment is just talk about the readings today. There's one person that's mentioned in all the readings, and his name is Moses. We see him in the book of Exodus. We see him in Psalm 106, and the Lord refers to him in the Gospel, John chapter 5. We take a look at this passage from Exodus, and notice, you know, Moses is up on Mount Sinai, and he's just been given the Ten Commandments, and they look down into the valley, and they see all the immorality and the drunkenness and all the bad things that are happening. And God says to Moses, "Go down at once to your people." Notice God doesn't say my people. He says, "These are your people, Moses." He says, "Who you brought out of the land of Egypt. They've become depraved. They've turned away from my ways. And they even made a molten calf and are worshiping a molten calf." And as you remember in Scripture, when Moses confronts Aaron about that, Aaron says, "Well, it wasn't my fault. I just took all their gold jewelry and threw it. We melted it down, and out came a golden calf." And they say, out of all the lamest excuses in the Bible, that's the lamest. Of course, they had to fashion this golden calf, and they worshipped it and said, "This is the God who brought us out of the land of Egypt." But then God says, notice how stiff-necked the people are. Stiff-necked meant those who were unwilling to bow humbly before the Lord their God. They were filled with pride and arrogance. And God says, "Let my wrath blaze up against them and consume them. Then I'll make you, Moses, a great nation." But notice now Moses is a mediator. He's an intercessor. He is a priest. He pleads on behalf of his people. He intercedes for them as a priest does for his people at Mass and says, "Why, O Lord, should your wrath blaze up against your own people?" You know, don't forget, they're your people, God, whom you brought out of the land of Egypt, not me. It was you and your great power with your strong hand. Don't let the Egyptians say, don't let our enemies say, he only brought them out to the desert to destroy them. Don't let them say that, Lord. Don't exterminate us from the face of the earth. Please relent in punishing your people. And don't forget, Lord, you've had some really good people in the past. You've had Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You've had some great holy people, some great saints. Don't forget about them. Don't forget about the promise you made that their descendants will be as numerous as the stars in the sky. And it says that the Lord relented in punishing the people that he had threatened to punish. Now, the one thing about this gospel, it makes Moses look more merciful than God. But that's not the case. The only reason why God has Moses being merciful is to show the power of intercessory prayer. God is the merciful one. Yes, he is perfectly just, but God is perfectly merciful. And the mercy that is in Moses' heart is from God. So God is inspiring Moses to intercede on behalf of the people, just as a priest intercedes on behalf of his people, and how you intercede on behalf of your children and grandchildren, your spouse, your family members, and friends. Notice in Psalm 106 it says, "Moses, the chosen one, withstood God in the breach." It's a great expression that Moses stood in the breach to intercede as a priest, as a mediator, to turn back God's destructive wrath. So the mercy that Moses has is from God, and God is the one who is merciful, and he inspires Moses to intercede and to pray on behalf of his people. So that's what we should remember. You need to stand in the breach for your family. Stand in the breach for your spouse, for your children, for your grandchildren. And lastly, let me just share a few thoughts that are found in this month's Magnificat. In the back, there's a very good, very short article about Jesus, the new Moses, and the parallels between the first Moses and the new Moses, who is Jesus Christ. It says both Moses and Jesus were born during the reign of iniquitous kings. Remember Pharaoh, who enslaved the Hebrew people and forced them into labor. And then you had King Herod, who was a wicked tyrant. Both Moses and Jesus escaped massacre as infants. Remember, they had to save the Christ child by fleeing into Egypt. And so Moses himself had to be saved by being put in a basket and placed out in the reeds. That's why we say Moses is the first case of somebody who was a basket case, who amounted to something. And in fact, you might have even seen the little cartoons of the little cartoon of Moses' mother giving Moses a bath as a baby, and Moses is going like this, and the water in the bathtub is parted. And the other one, of course, is Jesus as a toddler, and the Blessed Mother is trying to give him a bath, and he's standing on top of the water like this. And Mary says, "Get in the water, Lord." So both escaped death as infants. Both were spared. Both fasted for 40 days in the desert before undertaking their mission. Moses, 40 days. Christ, 40 days. As Moses' first sign, he transformed water into blood. As Jesus' first sign at Cana, he transformed water into wine, which would represent and prefigure giving us his blood in the Holy Eucharist. Moses established 12 leaders of Israel and had 70 elders. Jesus chose 12 apostles and 70 disciples whom he sent out. Moses received the law on the mountain. Jesus proclaimed the new law, the Beatitudes, on the holy mountain, the Mount of the Beatitudes, in his Sermon on the Mount. Moses fed the people with manna. Jesus multiplied the loaves and then feeds us with himself in the Holy Eucharist. Moses liberated the Hebrews from slavery. Jesus freed humanity from sin. And Moses victoriously crossed the Red Sea with all his people, and Jesus victoriously crossed through death to new life in his resurrection and restored humanity to God's friendship. So today, as we think about these readings, let's remember that Jesus is the new Moses. He is the fulfillment of all the Old Testament prophecies. He is our Lord and Savior.